I'm back.
Present day. Present time.
Yes, this is the Bento Box Podcast, Episode 0. This is actually the first podcast we've done on Anime Diet in well over a year. I'm your host, Michael Hong, and it's good to be talking into a big, fat, deep microphone again.
This is Jeremy, Redondo Beach Bum Otaku, signing back in from the great beyond.
And this is Rome. I'm a 17-year-old high school dropout from Japan, and ended up as legal alien in the land of free. Thank you.
And we're all gathered here together to give you a great show once again. And we've got a few things that we're going to be presenting to you, some news, a news item, a little bit of discussion, and of course, we want you to be participants again. We want to fill up our mailbag section just like we used to all the time with your millions and millions of love notes. So please, go ahead and leave some comments in the comment section, or send any emails that you have to editor@animediet.net, and we will read the best ones over the air, including all of the most creative flames. So, please enjoy. This is the new beginning for us, and you are now listening to the Bento Box Podcast, Episode 0, an Anime Diet production.
So, how many of you out there have seen K-On?
Ooh, me, ooh, me, pick me.
All of it? How much of it?
Not all of it.
I watched the first season.
Yeah, I've watched most of the first season. I watched a little bit of the second season. I saw the OVA. You know, I'm definitely not a completist. Actually, my roommate has actually seen all of it. He loves the show. But K-On, in general, has been a very popular show. Even a little bit outside, you know, the kind of people who normally watch moe shows of that sort. K-On! Is actually relatively mainstream for anime, as far as anime goes. And I think this new promotion that Lawson, the Japanese convenience store, kind of is both a testimony to both its mainstream kind of appeal, as well as perhaps something a little bit stranger if the nature of the products under consideration here is to be taken into account. Well, the two products that Lawson is offering, in conjunction, of course, with the purchase of a movie ticket, because there is a K-On! Movie coming out on December 3rd in Japanese theaters, a full-length feature film, is number one, for the low, low price of $85 US, you can get yourself a K-On! Toaster. Yes, a toaster. It's not just any toaster, though.
It is a toaster that presents the holy image of someone from K-On!, which I'm not sure who it is. Which character did they pick to put on? Yui,
of course, is the main girl in K-On!. She's the guitarist who names her guitar Gita and seems to be able to actually somehow score a $1,500 Gibson Les Paul without having to know how to actually play a note in the beginning. I am obviously incredibly jealous as a former guitar player myself, but yes, for those of you who are inclined to worship images that appear on toast, you can now toast your bread with the face of Yui.
You can create a virtual otaku mecca at your house where dozens of worshippers daily will come to cry at the beauty, weep openly at the wonder of Yui's face on a burnt piece of bread.
Is that something you'd love to eat up, Rome?
Well, I mean, is she going to be mistaken as a Virgin Mary?
I think in the otaku imagination, she might as well be the Virgin Mary.
Ah.
Yeah.
So she's actually a virgin.
I have not been given any information contrary to that.
She's holy and unobtainable.
Yes.
Ah, that's why.
Yeah. I think the producers of K-On! Probably learned something from what happened to Kanagi. You might recall that from a couple of years ago.
I see.
For those of you who don't remember, we actually did a podcast about that a while ago. Some otaku were a little upset when it seemed that Nagi, the main girl in Kanagi, happened to have a boyfriend, and therefore may not have been a virgin. Mass burnings of product ensued, and breaking of CDs and manga forthwith.
I don't know why otakus are obsessed with the ideas of virginity.
Because most of them are.
17 years old virgin instead of 40 years old virgin.
Yes, but Yui, of course, in many ways is, and not really so much in a sexual way, but in a very interesting way, she is a very pure character. She has very pure motives for everything she does.
Right.
Her life mostly consists of eating lots of snacks and playing guitar. And if only life were that simple for anyone. And so, yes, you can get a picture of Yui, and I suppose eBay sales are standing by. But that's not the only thing that's on sale. You see, there are people, I think, who have other predilections, who not only have less money because this thing is only a quarter of the price, but it's actually also a pleasure-giving device. I saw how I'm going to put it. It's, it's a blow-up doll. Yes, a super deformed Yui blow-up doll for the low price of $23 US with the movie ticket that has, when blown up, arms that are suitable for hugging.
Well, actually, this looks kind of chibi, though. It looks kind of like, if anything, it's a midget blow-up doll.
Yeah.
Which is, the arms for hugging may only fit around certain parts of the body, I guess.
Right. Exactly. Specifically, I think the neck, at least as originally intended. So it's sort of like a little kid hanging off your neck. I think that's the idea. But I'm sure the creativity of the otaku community could come up with other uses that I probably don't want to know about.
What?
So this is a blow-up doll for midgets.
Either for midgets or for children, because there is actually a children's price you can pay to get the same doll. It's about $5 less. It's for $17.30, you can get a child ticket to the movie along with this doll, as well as, of course, with the toaster has a similar offer as well. They are actually aiming K-On! For all ages, so sorry, doujinshi fans, this is not exactly going to cater to your fantasies in this particular version.
To be honest, though, is K-On!, I mean, I'm not saying it's not racy in any way, shape, or form, but it's not really geared towards children, though. I mean, is it?
It's more like high school, isn't it?
It has high school girls, it's true, and it was the original audience was definitely men. The original comic, the original manga was published in a seinen magazine, but I've seen people who are, you know, I've seen it being sold to, like, teenage girls. It, in some ways, it's almost the Japanese, like, equivalent of, have you all heard of Josie and the Pussycats?
Oh, right. But the point is, a children's ticket would be, like, under age 12.
That's true.
And so, therefore, you know, you know, 12-year-old boys, I don't see them being that interested in that show.
Probably not. No, I can see young girls actually getting into it.
I mean, there's no pocket monsters, no crap blowing up, you know, no mechas.
That's true. You know? No, I can see girls, like little, like, you know, young girls getting into it.
That's true.
Girls. Yeah,
that's a possibility.
It started a trend of like a band.
Yeah. Oh, like girls starting bands?
Yeah, schoolgirls. Yeah, exactly.
Really interesting. I did not know that. I didn't realize it actually kicked off a whole trend. That's actually kind of cool, because
it's same as that show, the kendo thing, the bamboo blade.
Oh, bamboo blade. Oh, really? Yeah. That started a kendo trend.
Yeah, so it had a similar effect.
I did not know that. That's actually really cool. It's always cool when people take up like really useful or really fun things inspired by anime. Like, I admit, I actually started baking bread because of Yakitate Japan once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a lot of fun. It takes a lot of time, but it's actually fun, and it's really delicious. All everyone right. should try it sometime. It's actually...
Wait, what are you talking about now?
Yakitate Japan?
Yakitate Japan.
No, when you just started saying, we were talking about a little while ago, blow-up dolls, and you said it's actually a lot of fun and really delicious. Everybody should try it sometime.
I'm not willing to experiment that far. Not yet, anyway. I need to man up on otaku points a little bit further before I'm ready to do that. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think, speaking of baking bread, I think we've done this to death.
That's probably the amount of information that we have. So all of you who are in Japan who want to indulge your love of sweet, sweet Yui, either by eating or by hugging, go check this out. You are listening to the Bento Box Podcast, Episode 0, an anime diet production.
This is going to be a brand new section for the podcast. We're going to talk a little bit about an anime that we've all seen in the past week. We're just going to talk about it for a few minutes, and we're just going to, in this particular case, serve as an introduction to a show that many of you probably have seen already, but, you know, for those of you out there who may not have, we're going to talk a little bit about the first episode of Maoru Penguin Drum, which is the latest show from Kunihiko Ikuhara, the director of Razefan and Revolutionary Girl Utena. So, what did you guys all think of episode one?
Well, it was bizarre.
Yeah, it is really strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you have two of the most deranged minds possible coming together to create an anime series involving penguins and the afterlife.
Yep.
Yeah.
And world domination.
Yeah, it's definitely a mix of many different kind of elements you don't think really would go together. I think that's something that Ikuhara is actually really good at. If any of you have ever watched Utena, he does an awful lot of that sort of thing in general. But, you know, to summarize the show a little bit, you know, at least based on episode one, because actually I have seen more of it and it gets even weirder. But the basic premise is that you have two brothers and a sister. And the sister had a terminal illness. And, you know, she dies. This is not a spoiler, by the way, because this actually happens within, like, the first 5 minutes. This is a part of the premise of the show. And she dies, but then she is brought back to life again by a magical penguin hat that's on her hat. And this, she almost becomes, it seems, a different person when she puts it on. And
wait, did you say that it was a magical penguin hat on her head?
On her head. Yes.
Yeah, 'cause where else would you wear a magical penguin hat? It's not like it's a magical penguin Jimmy hat.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that would work in this particular case at all, okay, given the gender of the particular person wearing it.
Well, you know, it seems like this anime creator with Utena tends to do a bit of a gender,
Yeah.
Gets some gender confusion going on. So.
Oh, yeah, he loves that. But this
is not Yuri, the penguin drum.
No, it's not Yuri. Though it just might be a little bit incestuous. We don't know yet, actually. A little bit. But it is about two brothers who just lose their sister. Or seemingly. But then they get her back. But it comes with a price. Because the magical penguin hat is now controlling their sister. And is telling them both they need to find something called a penguin drum. And in order to make sure that she actually stays alive, they have to fulfill this quest. What the penguin drum is, where they can find it, how they can find it, we have no idea yet. But along with the magical penguin hat, they are shipped three penguins. Three little blue penguins. They're incredibly hilarious and adorable.
And devious.
And devious, absolutely.
Devious.
They do wonderful little errands for the whole family. Things like bringing umbrellas when it's wet outside. Spraying bug spray on cockroaches, teaching the sister how to sew.
And these penguins cannot be seen by anybody else, correct?
Yes, they are invisible to all except the family.
Are these penguins siblings? Because they got one female penguin and other two male penguins.
It seems like that they correlate with the penguins, and then the female penguin is with the sister.
Yeah, the female penguin is actually teaching her, is actually sewing along with the sister.
Oh yeah,
when they come home,
she got a ribbon on her head.
She has a ribbon, a pink little ribbon on her head. Yeah. And yeah, and you will find out, well, okay, no, I'm not going to say that. Yeah, it's yeah, they do seem to be matched with each person. And they're blue little penguins. And it's really interesting because it blends drama, because the first half of the show is actually relatively serious since it deals with death and the afterlife and philosophical ideas about God and fate. Yes, all that stuff is thrown in episode one, which is awesome for theologians like me, so, you know, that's one reason I actually initially got into it. But it's...
As a sister, Moe, like me,
yeah,
I wish I had a little sister.
Aha, yes.
Yeah, I never had a female sibling, so...
Oh, but do you have brothers?
Well, no.
Oh, you're an only child. Oh, you're like me then. I'm an only child too.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I really wanted to have female sisters. I mean, female siblings.
Yeah, female sisters. You know,
female sisters. Are there any other kinds?
Nah.
Well, there is the sister in Arakawa Under the Bridge. That's a male sister.
Oh, yeah. No.
Did you ever watch that, Jeremy, Arakawa?
I have not watched that, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, there is a guy, a really macho guy, dressed up in a nun outfit in that show. And he's called Sister. He's an ex-assassin.
That's a different... That's a nun.
That's a nun. As a,
but the one I'm referring to is a biological sister.
Of course. Of course. Yes. That's the only other kind of non-female sister I can think of, though.
Yeah, I wish I had a sister like with cute ass Himari.
Yeah,
and yeah, my dream was to make me obento. Hey, onii-chan, obento tsukete-chan, something like that, and that will make my head explode.
Oh man, I think you and many otaku probably feel the same way, which is probably the hook that they're using for that show.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... Do you think the mixture of genres is interesting, or do you find it kind of... It's a little clumsy? Both of you.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's clumsy. I mean, it is a... It's a little bit overload.
Hmm.
It can be a little bit overload, but that's also what keeps it entertaining in a way, like that. It really doesn't get you... So far, it hasn't given you an opportunity to settle into, oh, it's one of those shows.
Right.
Like, it's, if I can describe it to a doubles tennis game, I mean, the ball's bouncing around so much in so many different areas, it's kind of hard to tell. You know, it keeps you interested.
Right, exactly. And it's, what did you all think of the epic transformation sequence that happened, too? I thought that was one of the highlights of the episode, for sure. It's like when the penguin hat is in control of the sister, she announces, like, survival strategy, and then, I don't know, I forgot what it was in Japanese. I forgot what it was in Japanese, and then this very elaborate psychosexual...
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
The transformation sequence is, like...
Yeah, they actually did a really good job of mixing the CG and the animation in a way that worked. I mean, that's actually something that has gotten better over time too. I remember some of the original CG that took place in anime was really clumsy and just awful. It didn't fit. It just was a clear delineation between the show and the CG, and seems like they did a good job with it.
I like the song they're singing.
Oh yeah, tell us a little bit more about that song. That song apparently has a history.
The original version was by the Japanese rock band during the 80s.
Oh wow!
And their name was I think ARB.
Hmm.
And the song name was Rock Over Japan.
Hmm.
It's really, the song fits with that anime stuff, because the lyric is really, it's talking about like how you travel, you know, during the road stops and road signs, and you know, like, it's transformation thing, like Rock Over Japan.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, it was. Yeah, and if we know anything about that, this director, Ikuhara, there was a similarly odd transformation sequence in Utena in almost every single episode. So you can expect probably for the transformation sequence to keep repeating itself a lot in future episodes. It's that's one of his trademarks. So yeah, there was even a nod toward Utena at the very end of it. It was where Himari, the sister who's under control of the penguin hat, is actually grabs a body and starts pulling something out. Just like the way Utena pulls out a sword
Empty's
body in
I didn't see no sword though.
There was no sword in this one, but it was done almost in identically shot.
Oh, okay.
It was shot in a very similar way.
I see.
That stuck out very clearly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, apparently the theme Rock Over Japan, it's a cover of the original 1987 song ARB by band ARB. It's apparently done by a band called Triple H, which I'm not that familiar with, but
yeah, I never heard of it. Maybe Himari stands for Himari something.
Oh yeah,
Himari Hibari Hikari or something.
Oh, I mean, anything Ikuhara does is going to have tons of symbolism. So, if there's a double meaning to anything, it probably was intended. So, and this is a very, this already looks like a very rich show from the very beginning. I remember when the first episode landed, every blogger I knew of went gaga over it. It instantly became the hit of the blogosphere. Like, there's entire sub-blogs just talking about this show. And, like, and entire, like, colloquiums and discussion forums and everything like that that are just crawling all over the symbolism of this show. It's causing an amount of excitement that I haven't seen in quite a while in the blogosphere.
Mm-hmm.
At least, since Madoka, which came out a few months ago. We might even talk about Madoka one of these days. Because that was also a very interesting show. But
Right. It was a very beyond my world expectation, the Madoka.
Yeah, Madoka was excellent in many ways.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts or comments on the first episode of Penguin Drum?
Definitely don't eat any mushrooms before watching it.
I've always wondered whether Ikuhara was on drugs, but yeah.
He might be.
Yeah, him and the creators of Hooli Cooli. It kind of almost had that kind of vibe in a way, didn't it? Kind of that really wild, free kind of free association kind of style to it, almost.
Mm.
Definitely a different visual look, but yeah, you don't see that kind of spirit in anime that much these days, and that's probably one reason why people are so excited about it. But anyway, I think that's actually a really good place to wrap up this section and also wrap up this podcast. This has been the Bento Box Podcast, Episode 0, an Anime Diet production. I'm your host, Michael Horn.
And this is Jeremy from Redondo Beach.
And this is Rome, a high school dropout from Japan.
And we will all see you next time.